place like this, when we feel His presence like we feel, that I just feel safe. And I'm thankful for His unconditional love. Amen. And I thank Sister Green for being sensitive a little while ago in our pre-service prayer and the word that God spoke to her and through her. And if you wasn't in here, it was just simply just be strong and of a good courage and get up and fight. And we appreciate that. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to James chapter 4. Verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." Verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." And then one of my favorite scriptures, if you would be so kind to turn to Psalm chapter 34 and verse 19. And it says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Would you just lift up your hands one more time and just ask for God just to speak to you and to help me and that He would confirm His word today. Lord Jesus, I love You so much. What an honor it is to be in this house. And again, Lord, I just want to let You know that I feel safe in Your presence. I feel safe in this church. And I pray, God, that Your word would go forth and that You would speak to lives that's in this place today. And I pray, God, that lives would be changed, encouragement would be found. I pray for wisdom and fresh anointing. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, praise God. Can you just clap your hands unto Him one more time while you're being seated? Amen. He is so worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Say amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak just for a little bit this morning on this subject, divine affliction. Divine affliction. You know, gold is one of the most valuable materials on earth, and it has been used for centuries as money, but it also has many uses in industry, manufacturing, and even in space flight. And one of the traits that makes gold so useful is that it can be shaped and formed so easily. In fact, a single ounce of gold can be flattened out to cover 300 square feet. Just 1 ounce of gold. But gold ore dug out of the ground contains many other elements that must be removed prior to the gold being useful. And the refining process for gold involves intense heat. And gold melts at a temperature of almost 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And that incredibly high temperature is required for gold to be ready to be used. So when we read scriptures like 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, that you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 says this, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." And again, there may come certain seasons in our lives that we may be allowed to go through what I would call divine afflictions. And so what do I mean, divine afflictions? And hopefully I can answer that question by the end of this lesson today. But there are things that you and I can do to allow ourselves to be put into affliction because of decisions or choices that we may have made. But what about the afflictions that come our way out of nowhere and it seems like all hell has targeted you? And sometimes we find ourselves seemingly led out into the middle of the desert and we can feel so alone, and no matter how loud we may cry out, it seems like no one can hear us or even realize we're missing. What about those times? And how am I expected to respond during those times? Now, I feel in the Holy Ghost that God has laid this on my heart, and God's going to help someone. And God has laid this on my heart for quite some time, and I just feel that today's the time to talk about it. But if you would just tap into the vein of the Holy Ghost, don't look at me. I just want to be led by the Spirit, but if you'll just tap into Him and listen to the words and let God do something, God will help you. I believe that. So what about the times of affliction, and how am I expected to respond during these times? And it is very important, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that if we ever do have a season of affliction, that we respond the correct way. You know, and it's natural, I believe, to say to ourselves that, or ask ourselves, what have I done to deserve this affliction? It's natural, I believe, to say, God, is there sin in my life? Have I sinned, and have I done something wrong? God, are you punishing me for something? Again, I think in the natural, when afflictions come our way, it's natural to think that and to question that. But listen, just because you may be going through a season of affliction doesn't necessarily mean that you have sin in your life. There can be afflictions that come into your life because God has allowed affliction to come into your life. And keep this in mind, to be tried or for Him to allow affliction to come your way isn't necessarily a sign of His disfavor or even judgment, but it may be a test of your heart, a test of your faith, and a test of your response during that affliction. Job chapter 1, and very familiar passage of Scripture, verses 6 through 13 says this: Now there was a day when the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan come also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Job is a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and saith, Well, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You know, even Satan recognizes when a man or a lady loves God and sees how the blessings and the favor of God is returned to those who love him and has a relationship with him. Even the devil recognizes that. But he went on, Satan, to say, But put forth thy hand now and touch all that Job hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. And so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And God allowed a season of affliction to come to Job and to begin its work. And in verse 13 says this, the first five words, And there was a day. Have you ever had one of those days where it just seems like, again, all hell had targeted you? And well, this was a day when, in fact, all hell did target Job, but it was with permission and under authority from God above. And after God had given authority and allowed affliction to come against Job from the devil, this was going to be a day of remembrance. But I believe that God trusted Job enough through Job's relationship that had been established through the years, that God had enough confidence that Job could survive the affliction that was going to come his way. In fact, the next few verses, Job receives word that his property and his animals and his family had destroyed. And there was a day. What a day of events that happened to Job. I mean, Job's just minding his own business. He's got a relationship with God. He's trying to take care of his family, doing what's right. And then here comes this day. But Job chapter 1 and verse 20 through 22 was how I believe how God knew Job was going to respond to this attack. And I'm paraphrasing here. But again, after receiving all of the bad news, Job fell down to the ground and worshiped his God. And Job said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all of this divine affliction, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And Job 13 and 15 says this. And this is Job talking. "Though he slay me," talking about God, "though he slay me, yet will I trust him, and I will maintain all my ways before him." That was the response God was looking for from Job that day. And again, when you are seemingly going through a season of affliction, ladies and gentlemen, it is critical that you can respond to the affliction just the way that Job did. Did Job understand everything that was going on? Absolutely not. And neither will you every time when affliction comes your way. But when God has trusted you enough to allow affliction to come your way, you must determine again within yourself to maintain your ways before Him. It's so critical that you do that. And again, you must convince yourself. You've got to convince yourself, no matter what you see going on in the physical, you must convince yourself to maintain your trust in Him, even though you don't understand. You must maintain your worship before Him, even though you don't understand. You must maintain your praise before Him, even though you may not understand. You must maintain your relationship with Him, even though you don't understand. And ladies and gentlemen, you must still have an altar in your life. It's at the altar where sacrifices are made. Yes, sometimes during a season of affliction, it takes sacrifice to maintain your ways before Him. And it takes sacrifice and it will take determination to continue to approach your altar. Again, it takes sacrifice to remain submitted to His will and to His ways. And ladies and gentlemen, if we are not careful and when we are going through a season of affliction, it can be so easy to consider just simply giving up because of your lack of understanding. And I personally believe that it's okay to ask God why because of your lack of understanding, but it's never to question His authority or His purpose. But it can be so tempting to stop believing for deliverance or relief, or trying to figure out the purpose from this affliction. And again, we have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that His ways are higher than our ways. And He knows what's going on, and He knows where you are, and He is the one that has allowed this affliction. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." In all thy ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You just do the best you can, and you just keep walking in the paths of righteousness, my dear friend, and he will see that you arrived at the destination that he has ordained for you. But you've got to trust him during the divine affliction. So why do we experience some afflictions? Perhaps we experience some afflictions because God needs to purge us. Perhaps God is wanting to take you to another level in the Spirit, and he needs to purge you. And perhaps there are certain elements that have to be removed from you, and so he will try you as gold. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to feel the heat of the process. But remember, he has a purpose in mind. And sometimes we pray that the burden would be removed or lifted off of us. But if we could only see in the spirit realm that actually maybe this is not a burden, but maybe this is just a process that God has chosen to purge you. And during this time of purging, you're going to feel the heat. It's not comfortable, and it's nothing that we would choose. But again, we have to keep in mind God has a purpose. And so yet will I trust him, and yet will I maintain, Brother Newsom, my ways before him. Romans 8 and 28 says this, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Again, perhaps God allows afflictions to come our way to not only to purge us, but maybe he wants us to try to grow spiritually. Maybe he allows afflictions to come our way to, again, to develop us, to test us, to perfect us, maybe to confirm you, to strengthen and to establish. And 1 Peter 5 and 10 says this, but we read it earlier, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, he's going to make you perfect, and he's going to establish you, and he's going to strengthen you." There is a purpose behind divine afflictions. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, and you may be glad also with exceeding joy." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 says this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment or a season, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It's just like Job during a season of divine affliction. We can feel like he did sometimes in Job chapter 23, verses 8 through 14. I've experienced this. I'm sure that you have. But Job got to this point in his life, and he said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. I can't sense him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him." But then Job maintained his ways and convinced himself, maintained his trust in his God. "I may not know where God is, but he knoweth the way that I take, And when he hath tried me, when he has allowed divine affliction to come into my life, I shall come forth as gold. I will be purified. I will be clean. And my foot hath held his steps during this divine affliction. In his way have I kept and not declined. Again, Sister Green, be strong and of a good courage. I appreciate that word because that was a confirmation in the Holy Ghost to me. But ladies and gentlemen, again, some of you may be going through divine afflictions, but let me encourage you in the name of Jesus Christ. You may not know where you're at. You may not know what you're going through. You may not understand it. And you may feel like God's nowhere near, but trust me, God knows exactly where you are. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His love is everlasting. But it's up to you to maintain your trust, your confidence in Him. That's why I said this morning, this is a safe place. Even though you may be going through divine afflictions, you need to make sure that you are a part of this safe place, because it's in a house of God where you're going to get your direction. It's where you're going to find wisdom. It's where you're going to find your answer. It's where you're going to frequent your altar. But yes, again, it's going to take sacrifice to get to that altar. It's not fun coming to an altar when you feel like all of this is on you. Because again, like I said earlier, you feel, God, what have I done? What have I done to displease you? But again, if you can just understand what's going on in the spirit, if you can just understand what's going on inside your spirit, just keep confidence in Him. Sacrifice. Get to the altar. Maintain your worship. Maintain your relationship with Him. Because there's purpose in a divine affliction. Praise God. He knoweth the way that you take. And Job went on to say in verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips, and I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. And listen, verse 14. Job had a revelation. For he performeth the thing that is appointed to me. Do you understand that? God performs the thing that Job is going through. And many such things are with him. Again, God... Or rather, Job acknowledged that God was in charge of his life, and whatever God allowed to come his way, his God's going to protect him. His God will deliver him, and his God will receive the glory and the honor while he is being afflicted, and his God will receive the glory and the honor after the season of affliction. Praise God. And again, one thing that is hard to accept as humans is we think the whole thing is all about us. But the truth of the matter is this. Yes, He wants us to make it. And yes, He wants us to pass the test during our season of affliction. But in the end, it is that He, God, would receive the glory and the honor. Because ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot get through a season of divine affliction without Him. We can't get through our season of divine affliction without His strength, without His wisdom, and without His mercy, without His grace, and without His protection. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we must accept that we cannot get through this divine affliction on our own abilities. We must have Him. We must have Him. But here's another thing that I believe that can happen when God allows affliction to come our way. After we go through the questioning of God, what did I do, and is there sin in my life? And we've searched our hearts. We've searched our lives. We went back to yesterday. God, what was it yesterday? What was it this morning? What in the world have I done? And again, not understanding that this has been appointed to us to go through this divine affliction. And one of the weapons that the devil likes to use against you is when he hears you start questioning yourself and your relationship with God Almighty. He takes an aha moment. He's like, huh, now's my opportunity. I'm going to condemn her. I'm going to condemn him. I'm going to make him feel that he's the one that's at fault. And I'm going to oppress him. I'm going to mess with his mind. I'm going to mess with this and with that. So that if he ever does look in the physical side of things, that's what's going on, that will be what he focuses on. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Condemnation is not from God. Now, if you've done something to cause certain afflictions to come your way because of sin or what, that's not what I'm talking about today. That's a whole different message. But when you've been appointed and God has allowed divine affliction to come your way, you've got to get a hold of yourself, and you've got to trust in Him. You've got to believe His word, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver him out of them all. And if you are walking down the paths of righteousness, you are maintaining your worship, you're maintaining your praise, you're maintaining your relationship with God to the best of your ability, trust Him and look forward to what you're going to be after the process. What am I going to become? That's what you need to say perhaps during those afflictions. God, again, I don't understand. I'm in pain. I don't understand. But God, whatever it's going to be, I'm going to trust you. And when I'm done, when I come out of this, and when I come, not if, when I come out of this, I'm going to make sure that you get all of the glory and all of the honor and all of my praise. Come on, there's perhaps people in here that you've been assigned divine affliction. Take it as a compliment that God trusts you enough, just like He did Job. Can God look at you and your life and say, well, if I allow this to attack this person, has he got confidence in you that you will worship him? You will still praise him? You'll still sacrifice and come to an altar? I want God to know, God, I hope you can trust me. I hope you know my heart. I hope you know that I want to serve you with everything that's within me. God, there's nothing in this world that I want to give up or trade off and lose a relationship with you. But God, I'm going to get through it. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear friend in this place today, I don't understand. You don't understand. Pastor probably don't understand. I don't know, but God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. Praise God. And I just pray for peace in the name of Jesus. There is a handful of people in this place today that you need the God of peace to speak peace into your world. He can't release this affliction yet because He has purpose, but He can give you peace during the process. And so again, I pray in the name of Jesus that God would minister to some people in here, and that you would feel that peace, and that you would accept that. Trust Him. Can we just stand in this house as we try to come to a close? And would you just lift up your hands towards heaven? And would you just, only if you really believe it, just give Him some affirmation. God, I love you and I trust you. And I'm going to maintain my ways before you. But God, I can't do it all by myself. I need direction. I need wisdom. And God, my faith and my confidence is in you. I don't understand maybe what's going on in the spirit world. But God, if you've ordained it and you've allowed it, then God, I'm going to trust you. Minister to some families in this place today. God, help them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, Harvest. We got a couple of minutes. Come on, reach out to him. Let him know that you still trust him, that you still love him. In the name of Jesus, let there be healing to take place right now, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sweep over our spirits today, God. In the name of Jesus. God, we receive your word. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes it's nice just to be still and listen for that still small voice. He's not left you. You're not alone. Come on, just a few more minutes. Jesus. Don't try to fix the problem on your own. Let go and stand back and let God. Let your will be done, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.